You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If you ever grumble about a lack of fresh air in New York City, consider this. There are 29,000 square acres of city parks. If that surprises you, it might be because many of the parks seem to be hiding in plain sight. However, Joel Meyerowitz's new book called Legacy, The Preservation of Wilderness in New York City Parks, shines a light on a resource that's often ignored in our city. It's a comprehensive collection of photographs of all the city parks, and many of the images may surprise you. It features a foreword by Mayor Bloomberg and an essay by Philip Lopate, and it's published by Aperture. I'm very pleased that it has brought Joel Meyerowitz back to our show. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Same here.
How does the city define what a park is?
A green space is a park.
So it can be a half a block?
Yeah. Well, there are Vespocket parks all over New York.
And how many of those parks did you photograph?
Well, there are 800 parks, more or less, but I chose 60 parks, the biggest of them, minus Central Park, to make a record. Actually, Adrian Banterby, the commissioner, had invited me to make an archive, saying that there hadn't been one since the WPA in the 30s.
And really?
He needed a record. Yeah. They were still using pictures from 80 years ago.
And why not Central Park? Because it has been photographed so much?
Oh, it's been so overly photographed that doesn't need me to add anything to it.
And these are in all five boroughs.
Yeah, I went everywhere.
Do the parks have distinct personalities?
Absolutely. You find in the Bronx, you find Pelham Bay Park, it looks like you're on the coast of Maine, granite islands and granite shoreline. Or you go out to Brooklyn and see the Marine Park, which is really like being on a coastal area in the South someplace.
So you found waterfalls. You found all sorts of different things in these parks.
I took a canoe ride from the top of the Bronx down the Bronx River into the East River, and we had a portage over three waterfalls to get there.
Wow. Now, if you told people there are a lot of waterfalls, I know there's a waterfall in Prospect Park. You can't get close to it because it's in this area that it's fenced in.
That's right.
So people won't mess it up. Did you come upon any plants or animals that surprised you?
I saw a turkey.
A
wild turkey on 59th Street and 6th Avenue.
Now, if I were to go over your photography in the past, would I be prepared for this project? Had you done a lot of landscape and nature photography in the past?
I had. Oddly, even though I'm a street photographer by birth and nature, in the 70s I started using an 8x10 view camera, and I found myself on Cape Cod and making photographs of open space and light and a different kind of sublime. And I think this work is a study in urban sublime. And in fact, when Commissioner Banterby asked me to do it, I thought I was going to photograph all the assets of the parks. And I found myself drawn to these unmanaged parts of some of the big parks where wilderness or the sense of nature rather than park was the experience. And I thought, isn't that what we all need as urban dwellers? Don't we need a place to go and have a retreat and experience ourselves quiet in nature?
Are they still making 8x10 view cameras?
Yes. Yeah, they are. And film.
because they have not ever made a digital 8x10 camera.
No, not to my knowledge. Although I wish they did, I would like to try it.
Uh-huh. Because digital really has transformed photography, and a lot of photographers who held out have now given in as, I guess, digital has improved. But do you see a difference when you look at a print that you've shot digitally and on film? Is still apparent whether it's on one or the other?
It's less apparent when it's at 16, 20, or 20 by 24 inches. But once you get up to the magnitude of the scale of my photographs for the exhibition at the Museum of the City of New York, some of the prints are 10 or 12 feet across. And if they were digital, I think they'd show themselves in that regard.
In the introduction to your book, my brother writes, nature photography is riddled with cliches. I don't know whether you agree, but that has to be a concern You just don't want to make pictures look like everybody else's.
No, and I think cliches are in all of our minds. You know, it's so easy to point. You step into a place and you basically say, oh, look at the flower, look at the sunset. I think photography, serious photography, takes a different kind of complexity and a looking that requires, some kind of relationship between things rather than objects alone. And for me, that's what this work was about.
And things change with the seasons, don't they? Yeah, I noticed that you shot some of the Bronx locations twice in the winter and the summer.
Yeah, and in many cases, I try to go back in every season, although it was a little difficult. I wanted to see and experience these parks in all the seasons to better understand them.
Mm. How important is weather? Because I'd imagine in some cases it just makes it very difficult to shoot.
Well, weather is like light, you know. If you don't have it, it's dull and dreary, and when you do, it's sparkling and scintillating, and the same with the seasons.
One of the problems I was thinking about those cliches is the natural inclination of someone like me is to take a picture that will look like something that would be good on a picture postcard.
Mm-hmm. Or that you might have seen before. It's true, and I think I'm always struggling against all the things that I've seen and remembered to see if I can reinvent it when I'm there, if I have a different feeling about it.
Now, you come from the Bronx. Is that why the Bronx is your first chapter here?
Well, yes, you could say that. It's favoritism, but also it's the top of New York. I tried to start at the top and work my way through the boroughs as if there was an adventure we were on.
When you were a kid in the Bronx, were you aware of all these parks?
Not really. I knew the Bronx Zoo and the Botanical Gardens, basically.
So you were really discovering your own borough and doing this. I'm assuming you were discovering the city as you were going from borough to borough.
Yes, I thought I knew it. But frankly, when you go to the parks and the neighborhoods they're in, there's a whole adventure awaiting.
Well, many of these photographs are shot in places that look very isolated. And I don't think of any spot in Manhattan is being isolated, and yet
there's a special one I have to tell you, Lenny. There's a place called the Hallett Sanctuary. It is truly a secret garden. It's right on 59th Street and 6th Avenue, between 5th and 6th, opposite the Plaza Hotel. There's a 3.5-acre peninsula in the pond that's there, and that peninsula has been closed since 1934 to the public. It's a gated wilderness, and I have the key. So I made a discovery of something totally wild in the very heart of New York.
And it's gated because it's being kept as a nature preserve?
Yeah, both nature and sort of bird sanctuary.
So what happens when you're in the Hallett Nature Preserve? Do you still hear the sounds of the city?
Oddly, it's muffled by the scale of the trees in there are, over 100 years old for many of them. And so in the background, you can hear the bleat of the horns or buses or whatever, but it's muffled in a way that allows you that sense of solitude and serenity. And you could hear the birds. And that's where I saw the turkey.
My guest is Joel Meyerowitz. His latest book, Legacy, The Preservation of Wilderness, New York City Parks, with a foreword by Michael R. Bloomberg and an essay by Philip Lopate, published by Aperture. What other boroughs have really isolated spots? The Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn?
Absolutely. Brooklyn has this beautiful marine park, wetlands area that's, 1,000 acres, 900 acres, something like that.
Is it easily accessed?
Absolutely. There's an entry point. There's, even a little educational site there. But then you can go off for a walk and truly get lost in all kinds of tributaries of whatever water, areas are there. But Staten Island.
But what I want to say in Brooklyn, for a moment, because you begin the chapter in Brooklyn with Prospect Park, which I would think every inch has been covered by now, in the same way that Prospect Park, Central Park has been covered.
There's an area in Prospect Park that's called the Ravine, which is a little bit like the Rambles. It's an area that was left to be wild in that way. And once you're in there, and it's in this kind of a gorge, you feel that sense of isolation in a way that you don't on the bike paths and the, you know, the meadows and all of that. So I found myself just seeking out those spaces.
A caller asks, are Canarsie, Monroe Cohen Park, Canarsie Pier, Fresh Creek Nature Preserve also included?
From Fresh Creek, I think there are a few photographs from Fresh Creek, but not other Canarsie.
And Staten Island, you say, has a lot. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go to Alley Pond Park on trips because it was just so different than all the parks that we had available to us in Brooklyn.
Well, Alley Pond is Queens.
Oh, is it Alley Pond?
Alley
then there's
Pond
another.
Is Queen. Right. But in Staten Island, there's
We used to go to Staten Island to some park.
Right. There's a bunch of Wolf Pond Park, and then there's a green belt that runs across the top of it. Deep woods and mysterious places and historic ones, too. I mean, I went to a place where Lord Howe and Benjamin Franklin signed some treaty, you know, Conference House Park, and it's the very last part of New York City. When you stand there, you look out, and basically it's the Atlantic in front of you.
If I were a lover of some of these spaces, I might be worried about that your book will suddenly attract an awful lot of people. This is a concern for people about Yellowstone Park, for example, they become too popular, and then they destroy the thing that you captured here.
Yeah, it's always the way. Provence, look what happened to Provence after that book was written. But I don't think New York parks are in danger of that. And in fact, it may be an asset if people were to really discover what's in their neighborhoods. They might be willing to become part of a conservancy movement to protect and sustain these parks, which I think is a potential plus from this book's production.
We have ignored Queens, although there are some great parks here. Forest Park, Alley Pond Park, what else?
There's a place called Udall's Cove, and it is a surprisingly beautiful place. You don't know where you are. You could be out on the far north shore of Long Island. It probably once was an industrial area with boat building and the like, and now it's this incredible cove with woodlands and wetlands and bird sanctuaries, and it's just beautiful to be in.
One of the things that your photographs can't capture is the sweetness of the air in these places. Mm. I remember when I moved from Chinatown to a place near Prospect Park, and it suddenly dawned on me that the air smelled differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a kind of freshness. And it's true. There were, when I was a young man living in Manhattan, I remember smelling the brackish river smell combined with Martinson's coffee roasting plant or whatever was down the river, and the two of them together were like so magical. And it's true, stepping out into some of these places and way out in the Bronx, it's got a briny, salty air to it as if you're on the main coast.
We, by the way, have a slideshow of some of the photos from the book available on our show page at WNYC.org. So listeners will get a taste. But it's not the same as going through a book that is large format like this, published by Aperture, which specializes in photography books. I don't know where they have them printed, but they must have a real good friend in the business.
Yeah, this was printed in Singapore, where I had other books printed in the past, and they've done it exquisitely well. But I felt it needed to be large-scale photography to capture all of the essentials of these places so that when you see it on the page, you can have as close an experience to being there as you can get.
And there's also the concern about color, isn't there? Because you want the color to be as natural as possible.
Yeah, as accurate as possible, too. And, you know, we mastered every one of these images in my studio. We printed them all beforehand so that everything there was finessed in a way that Ansel Adams would have been proud of.
If he had shot more in color. Right. Joel Meyerowitz's book, Legacy, The Preservation of Wilderness in New York City Parks, is published by Aperture. And I want to thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you so much for having me.